Good morning and welcome to 1180 WFYL to New Day. Mike Levins here along with Kathy Barnett joining us in studio for a Wednesday. Hope you're having a good day driving to work there. Be safe on those roads today as we are going to talk about some things that may make you swerve left and right. But remember, above all things, no matter what it is, that Jesus Christ is Lord. You can call in at 610-539-TALK. That's 610-539-8255. Toll free, 1-877-667-1180. Now, a new headline just came out. This is at FoxNews.com. The U.S. West ready to offer nuclear equipment to Iran if it limits possible atomic weapons programs. What do you think about that? 610-539-TALK. I can't believe that we're going to be giving, at least we're talking about giving, high-end nuclear equipment to Iran if they limit possible atomic weapons programs. So we're going to give them the very means to achieve atomic weapons. In the least, they're putting them towards temptation. How are you doing this morning, by the way, Kathy? You doing good?
I am doing well. Very well. Just looking at all these headlines.
Well, of course. I mean, what do you think about limiting atomic weapons programs by giving Iran the means to achieve it?
I think it's very dumb. Next.
Next. Pretty plain. Well,
I don't think it makes any sense whatsoever. I think they have, I think when someone tells you who they are, we should believe it. And so when they tell us that we're the big devil, and they tell us that they have been given a command by Allah to eradicate us and to destroy us, I think we should believe them and not help facilitate their ability to destroy us and the rest of the world.
You know, I completely agree with you, Kathy, and I don't see why that is such an issue. Now, we were talking about Islam the other day here. We were talking about one headline in particular, where ISIS had reportedly been giving away female sex slaves for a Quran memorization contest, and how that was supported in the Quran by different surahs, basically where the women of any conquered civilization are the booty, if you will. You know, they're able to be distributed,
yes.
Okay, and taken as,
mm-hmm.
like, the loot.
The women, the young boys. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and trying to draw the parallel of, hey, Islam is not what we think it is. And because ISIS, according to the article I was reading the other day, to some watchdog groups on social media that monitor their Twitter accounts and Facebook accounts, they were saying that this is the most literal interpretation of Islam that is in the Middle East, I guess, right now. It kind of aligns up a lot with many universities.
Yeah.
That teach Islam in there. I mean, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think if someone tells you who they are, and they show you who they are, you should tend to believe that this is really who they are. And, but in our culture today, we want to try to make everyone seem nice and moral, but they're not. And so you have various different camps of Islam. Those who interpret Islam according to what it says, a literal interpretation, kind of like you and I as Christians, we look at the Bible, and if the Bible says this, then we believe that, and then we go about aligning our lives accordingly. Well, those are so they call us conservatives, and it's the same aspect in Islam. You have the conservative and you have the moderate, and the moderate would be those who says, okay, well, this is what the Quran says, but I want to kind of fit into mainstream society. I want to be considered normal and moral. So I'm going to revise certain aspects of the Quran in order to fit who I want to be. And we have some of those in the Christian set as well, but we would not call them Christians, or we would call them carnal. We would call them all kind of things, right? That they're not aligning with the true word of God. And it's the same way with Islam. There's a conservative view a literal view that looks at the Quran and says, well, this is what the Quran says, and these are the things that the Quran allows me to do. And so again, I just think it's very simple. If someone tells you who they are, you should believe it. And they're very open about who they are. We just, for some reason, don't want to believe it.
No, and we're falling into the hands of our enemies. Like Scripture will say of nations that fall away from God and that basically go against God's law, where he is giving us over to our enemies by things like this. We're offering nuclear equipment to Iran.
They call us the infidel.
Now, this was, exactly, this was a confidential paper, apparently, is this is being reported by Fox News, that was obtained by the Associated Press, and apparently, let's see, I'll read it here, the technical cooperation is the least controversial issue at the talks, and the number of brackets suggest the sides have a ways to go, not only on that topic, but also more contentious disputes, with little more than a week until the June 30th deadline for the deal. So, technical cooperation in, I guess, because the first line, we're willing to offer apparently state-of-the-art nuclear equipment, it reads, if Tehran agrees to pare down its atomic weapons program as part of a final nuclear agreement, a draft document has revealed.
Yeah, and another key aspect of the negotiations is that Tehran will allow inspections. And Tehran has been very adamant, we're not allowing any of that. So you're going to give us the equipment that we could modify and be able to create a nuclear weapon, but we are not going to allow you to come in and confirm and check and inspect to make sure we're not creating a nuclear weapon. You're just going to take our word for it. And another aspect of the Quran
and
is that
smile too. You just take our word.
And another very popular teaching of Muhammad is that Muslims can lie. Muslims can lie if it suits them in their greater calling, which is Islamification, which is, you know, taking the whole gospel of Islam throughout the world. And if it allows them to achieve that goal, then they are allowed to lie.
Right. As long as it is to an infidel and to achieve that goal. Yes.
Yes.
And people don't like to think about that when we're dealing with these Middle Eastern peace talks.
Well, we don't like truth in our culture any longer, and we have an administration that seems to be allergic to truth. This administration has an idea of who they are and what they want to accomplish and what they want their legacy to be. And by golly, I know that's not a term you hear a whole lot of. You teased me last time about it, but by golly, I'm going to make this happen. I don't care what Iran says. I'm going to make this deal happen one way or the other. And the American people, we're being bamboozled and entertained over here to the left, and we're not focused on the main thing.
Well, I want to read on this article a little bit, and I'm continuing. This is a Fox News article. However, the scope of the help now being offered in the draft may displease U.S. congressional critics who already argue that Washington has offered too many concessions at the negotiations. The draft entitled, quote, Civil Nuclear Cooperation, promises to supply Iran with light water nuclear reactors instead of its nearly completed heavy water facility at Iraq with an A, which would produce enough plutonium for several bombs a year if completed as planned. Reducing the Iraq reactor's plutonium output was one of the main aims of the U.S. and its negotiating partners, along with paring down Iran's ability to produce enriched uranium, like plutonium, a potential pathway to nuclear arms. Outlining plans to modify that heavy water reactor, the draft dated June 19th, offers to, quote, establish an international partnership to rebuild it into a less proliferation-prone facility while leaving Iran in, quote, the leadership role as the project owner and manager.
With absolutely no ability to inspect.
No, we could say that we have the ability to inspect.
Well, we could say it all day, but the Ayatollah actually came out on Twitter saying that this administration is lying. We are not allowing such an inspection. And that has been a very prominent piece of the negotiation that keeps failing. They refuse to allow inspectors in.
Well, and this is nothing new. I mean, Islam has been at war with the West, quote unquote, for centuries. centuries, ever since the ever since what prompted. See, I was taught, in particular with like the Crusades, I was taught that the Europeans went and invaded Jerusalem because they just wanted the holy city, because they were crazy Christians, Catholics, and they just wanted to invade so that they could occupy Jerusalem. That wasn't the case at all. Muslims invaded Europe. They invaded Spain. Mm-hmm. And they united together, Europeans, to defend themselves, and they pushed to Jerusalem.
They had to.
They had to, exactly. See, that's not how it was taught in schools. That's not how it was taught at all. Education is another thing that we may touch on a little bit today, how the government is controlling education and how they're basically going to be brainwashing our kids. But what do you think about giving Iran nuclear equipment? You could call in 610-539-TALK. We've got to head to a break, but when we return, this whole Confederate flag thing, Kathy is with us this morning, and she's got some thoughts on that. We're going to talk about the whole Confederate flag deal. What does it really mean? Should we care about? Is it the thing that we should be caring about right now? On It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL, Working for Your Liberty, Mike Levins and Kathy Barnett here. We will be back in just a moment.
A government of laws and not of men. John Adams, 1774.
Balancing life is our biggest challenge, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. Here on WFYL, we address a balanced life every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. We have great guests such as the number one best-selling author and health coach Mari Pizarro, and as seen on The Doctor's Show, Dawn Cotillo from Be Balanced Centers, and many, many more. I'm the host of Balanced Life, Renee Gable. Please listen every Saturday, 8 to 9 a.m., because a balanced life matters.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gere with today's Family Update. The United States Supreme Court is expected to announce its decision regarding so-called same-sex marriage any day now, and many expect they will overturn the long-standing definition of marriage. Please pray for a different result. But whatever the court decides, we need to educate ourselves and the next generation about the many reasons why marriage is and should remain the union of one man and one woman. That's one reason why we're hosting Ryan Anderson, the nation's leading spokesman in defense of marriage, at our upcoming City on the Hill Youth Leadership and Worldview Conference for Teens. This is the age group that most needs to hear this message. So find out more about City on the Hill today. Space is filling up. To get information, go to our website at pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org, or you can call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1. I'm Michael Gere of the Pennsylvania Family Institute.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Well, Kathy, we were talking right before the break how we're going to go into this Confederate flag issue. And I talked about it a little bit yesterday, about how a lot of the South looks at this as, this is what I said yesterday, I said, let's be honest, this is a pride issue for the South, as far as just the flying of the Confederate flag. Because in my mind, yeah, it's a symbol of racism, okay, now... Some of my friends who actually flew that when I was growing up in Florida, because there's a lot of people who do in the South. You grew up in the South as well. People fly the Confederate flag. It's amazing to me. I was born to a Northern family, being raised in the South. But to me, you know, besides the racist component, I'm looking at it as well, because usually they go, it's a Southern pride thing, you know, when I guess the Confederacy stood up for itself. But it's like, okay, but you guys lost, and now you're part of the United States. Okay, enough with this rebellion, you know, Southern pride thing.
Let's, like, get over it. Like,
yeah, exactly. Let's just be honest.
This you lost.
This is, well, yeah, and it's not just a you lost, though, but, you know, like, let's just get over it. You know, this is a symbol of division, if nothing else. Not only racism, but division. Oh, Kathy, what do you think?
I mean, you know, I mean, obviously, I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm black. Michael knows this.
I know this. You have to see her to believe it. But you see,
I'm
you
black.
See it.
And along with that, I grew up in the very deep south of Alabama. Yay.
The deep south. See, deep Florida south. Has a lot of northerners in it. Mm-mm. So sometimes it's south, sometimes
New
it's not.
Florida is city. Florida is not the deep south. Florida is like, you know, being in New York. I don't know. But the deep south of Alabama, very deep south, grew up on a farm of all places, loved my childhood. And I went to college in southern Alabama as well. And yes, that Confederate flag is on everything, on coffee mugs, on bumper stickers, printed on cars. The flag is waving on their cars. You go to football games, their faces is, they have the face paint of the Confederate flag. It's on everything, right? Book covers, everything. And so it is a part of your world. At one point, it was flying on the Capitol in the state of Alabama. They took it down some years ago. But nonetheless, it was just a very prevalent part of the Southern culture. And now, there's two points here, right? So we have one that in response to the brutal, horrific murder of 9 black people in South Carolina last week, the mayor has come out, and now that is a big in response to that, because the young guy, Dylan Roof, is his name Dylan Roof?
I believe that's correct. Dylan Roof.
Yeah. Dylan Roof. He before going and committing this heinous crime, he took a picture with the Confederate flag and was saying he was going to go do something to for the white race. That was what was one of the things he put out there on social media, and he of course posed with the Confederate flag and all of that. And so now, in response to the brutal killing of these 9 black people in a African American church last week, the state of South Carolina is saying, well, let's take down the Confederate flag. And so what they did yesterday, they had a vote to vote on removing the flag. So there, it's like the suspense of it all. And so that's one issue, right? And the reason why the whole Confederate flag issue is back up on the table is because is in response to these 9 people being killed, murdered last week. And so you have to, and so one, you look at this and you say, okay, well, you have the issue of the Confederate flag in and of itself, and we can talk about that. But then you have this other component now that in response to, as a way to, I don't know, to quell the potential storm of another Black Lives Matter movement destroying all of South Carolina, perhaps that is the impetus behind tackling this, to show that, hey, we're all one here and we're wanting to do something and we recognize it. But to that, the question is, well, is that really the proper response to the mass murdering of 9 people, this whole kind of stoking of the race issue, race tension fire that we're contending with in America right now?
We are taking out our problems, our issues on a straw man. That's what this Confederate flag issue
is.
It's
a straw man debate, right? Because right now we have just been stoking this racial tension in our culture, and now we're surprised that we have some loony bins in the other camp, you know, because generally we're talking about some of the, you know, animalistic behavior that's going on under the banner of Black Lives Matter movement, just very destructive. And all of that. And so that's generally what we're talking about. And now we're kind of surprised that we have some animalistic behavior coming out of other racial camps, right? But when you just start stoking and poking and creating an issue, making things a divide, then you can't be so surprised that you have loony bins coming out of other camps as well.
We are making a straw man argument. This Confederate flag deal, that's all it is. We're taking out our real issues on a straw man, and that's this Confederate flag issue.
Yeah.
Here's the real issue, and this goes into our scripture of the day today. I'm going to be reading from the NIV, Luke 9, going to be starting off at verse 23. Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self?" And Jesus, to put this in context, was talking about how he was going to have to suffer many things. The verse right before that, how he was going to be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed on the third day, be raised to life. The elders and the chief priests, who were, for lack of a better term, the pastors of the day, the teachers of the day. Now think about that for a second. Our nation is being led today by people in spiritual authority. It's being led today by those pastors and teachers. And in a lot of ways, they are somewhat responsible for where we are today. This whole issue with the Confederate flag and with white supremacy, if we do not submit and take up our cross daily as individuals, and by saying individuals, as whole as a nation as well, if we do not do that, then we are going to be hitting our heads against a stone wall until these issues consume us. And there have been so many teachers in the church who have, and I think that this is a large reason as to why we're at the place we're at, and this has been on my heart recently, that the America has seen such a demonstration of religion that has tried to make ourselves look good by not submitting to Christ, by what we can do, by how good we can be, by what we look like. And the problem is we end up like what the Pharisees were, what Jesus called them, whitewashed tombs. And we've tried to do that in Christianity in America, and that has turned off so many people to Christianity because they see just a bunch of sinful people trying to make themselves look better by what they can do, not submitting themselves and picking up their cross daily to follow Christ in surrender, because freedom only comes in surrender. We've got to head to a break, but when we get back, we're going to talk more about the headlines. We're going to delve a little bit more into this Confederate flag issue.
WFYN. Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. The ambassador to France is called in to address reports on the website WikiLeaks that the U.S. spied on three French presidents.
That would be Jacques Chirac, Nicolas Sarkozy, and François Hollande. This spying would involve tapping into their mobile phone conversations that reveals, for example, that Hollande was concerned about the Greek exit from the Eurozone and that Nicolas Sarkozy was considering whether to resume Palestinian and Israeli peace talks without the U.S.
Sky News correspondent Jason Farrell. a leaked autopsy report on Freddie Gray's death in Baltimore.
The details reveal he endured a, quote, high-energy injury. The medical examiner suggesting Gray was hurt when the van transporting him stopped short. Still, his death is ruled a homicide because the officers didn't take proper safety precautions.
Fox's Jackie Ibanez, six officers face charges. Fox News, we report.
So, thank you for coming to my town hall today on how wonderful Common Core is and how much money we got from the federal government for giving up control of education. Any questions?
So, Representative, we have adopted new National Common Core standards, but they are not higher than our existing standards, and they were never really tested.
Well, yes.
And now we have to retrain all our teachers again and make them teach from a script so they can teach to national tests?
Well, yes.
And buy lots of new computers and equipment and copyrighted lessons from the same people who are promoting Common Core?
Well, yes.
And we're going to share all our private, family, medical, disciplinary, and test results with people nationwide. Why are you supporting it?
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
The American Republic will endure until the day Congress discovers that it can bribe the public with the public's money. Author unknown.
School property taxes are out of sight and going up almost every year. Even if you've paid off your mortgage, you haven't paid off the state of Pennsylvania. If you lose your job, you could lose your home too. But there is hope on the horizon. Harrisburg is considering a bill which will eliminate property taxes for school funding. It replaces it with a broad-based small increase in income taxes and sales taxes. This makes all Pennsylvanians responsible for school funding, not just property owners. Please join us at Montgomery County Community College in Pottstown on Thursday, June 25th at 7 p.m. for a town hall meeting to discuss how we can fully fund our schools without taxing people out of their homes. Town hall meeting, Montgomery County Community College in Pottstown on Thursday, June 25th at 7 p.m. Admission is free.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government, taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4, 1801.
The Stars and Bars, as it's called, has prompted more discussion in our nation today than it ever has. Mike Levins here. Welcome to It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL. You can call in at 610-539-TALK. Kathy, what do you think about the Stars and Bars?
Stars and Bars. You know, and you and I, we were just talking that this is a trending news item. I mean, everyone is talking about it. Black, white, it doesn't matter. Everyone is talking about it. Everyone is getting very emotionally charged. And many of my white friends that we agree on so many different things, I'm looking at what they're posting, and they're getting all up in arms about, no, let's just leave it. And then I have some black friends, and they're like, no, let's take it down. So it's just a tremendous amount of distraction is what I think. And I was telling you, I just think we're just being entertained. We're being toyed with, right? Because we're over here, folk. I mean, and in response to something that's very horrific, the response is, well, let's just put all of our energy right now on the Confederate flag. And to show how serious we are about this in South Carolina, we took a vote yesterday to vote on taking it down. So we're going to take a vote. We're going to spend all this time and all this taxpayer money and energy to sit here and debate on, should we have a vote? Should we discuss? So yesterday, they unanimously, and they all came out just in, you know, just big grins, that they voted to vote. eventually to have a discussion on it.
Politics are not going to save us from this.
It is not going to save us, right? But we keep looking for that Messiah. And it's very interesting because I love studying the book of Revelations. And this is exactly what they're doing during the beginning part of the tribulation, right? There's so much chaos and foolishness and mayhem going all around during that particular time. And everyone starts looking for someone to save us. They're looking for someone to rise up through the ranks and to say, well, I have the answer. I have the solution. And this is how the Antichrist is going to come from basically obscurity and become the ruler literally of the world. But now we see that Messiah like complex, you know, some and even today, right? When you're talking to conservatives, Republicans, constitutionalists, libertarians, we're all looking for, okay, 2016, we're looking for someone to save us. We're looking for a Messiah. And I have to check myself as well at times. And I see it even among those that we would consider friends from a political perspective, that we're looking for a Messiah. We're looking for someone to come in and save the day kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just not going to happen. I earnestly believe that the change we're looking for is not going to come from the top down, but from the bottom up. It's going to start with us as individuals, not buying into the narrative that's being scripted for us right now, whether we're talking about transgender, transracial, there are no absolutes, do whatever makes you feel good, you do you, I do me. We're going to have to just stop and say, wait a minute, the emperor has no clothes on. This is a bunch of foolishness. I'm not going to buy into that. And then to begin to speak it out, right? But we're so concerned with being tolerant, with being liked. You know, I just don't want to rock the boat. People call me radical just because I say, that's foolish. What are you talking about? You can't be black. You can't put on a black face, get some kinky weave, and now you're black. And so people look at me like I'm the crazy one, right? No, this is, there's a narrative that's being written to dumb us down, to remove all sense of absolutes and morals, right? And we did an interview, you and I, last week with Lonnie Poindexter and Dr. Alveda King, Dr. Martin Luther King's niece. And two points I keep remembering. Lonnie asked us, Lonnie Poindexter, who formerly worked with Star Parker's organization, CURE, asked us the question, what happens if you remove gravity from the room? Well, a bunch of chaos ensues, right? And truth is the equivalence of gravity, right? It gives us a sense of it gives us a baseline. It keeps everything in order, right? So that everything is not just kind of flying all over the place. And I remember Dr. Avita King saying that her uncle Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. used to always say, either we will learn to work together as brothers and sisters, or we will perish as fools. And I just think that is so apropos to what we're contending with right now in our culture. We're acting like a bunch of fools because here we have the blacks, here we have the whites. And then we're trying to, you know, so now we have the Black Lives Matter movement that is creating a lot of angst and emotional responses. Well, now the white people seem to have this whole Confederate flag, and let's band behind that. And no one seems to see that we're not, I mean, how often, even in a marriage, even if you bring from this national platform down to you know, to a small scale and just look at your home. How many times do we actually resolve something when I think I'm right, my husband think he's right, I'm just going to scream at him until he figures out that he's wrong and I'm right. He's doing the exact same thing. We go to bed angry and nothing ever gets resolved. It's just anger, right? It's the same thing that's going on now on a larger scale in our country, right? You have black people, you have white people, you have liberals, you have conservatives, and we're just like just angry at each other. And there's never any resolution to it all. And someone has to say, we're acting like a bunch of fools here. Let's figure out what the real issues are. Let's look at the heart of the issue, which is a heart issue. The fact that we have no morality, everything is up in the air. And then we're wondering why kids are killing kids and people are acting like a bunch of nuts.
And the only fix to that is Jesus Christ. The only fix to that is Jesus Christ, and we have to remind ourselves of that, and that's why we're here on the air today. If you just tuned in, welcome to the program. It's a new day with Mike Levins and Kathy Barnett. You could go ahead and call in at 610-539-TALK, talking about the Confederate flag right now and the Stars and Bars, as it's called, in this whole issue in our nation's perspective right now. I don't think that this is a distraction. It clearly is. It really is. And the sooner we realize that, the sooner that we will be better off and move on and be able to be, you know what I'm astounded with? Whenever I look at online commenting on Facebook or YouTube, and I was talking about this the other day in particular with the judge who got ridiculed for something that, in my opinion, was probably the least inappropriate, for saying that we should have sympathy and that we should also remember that the family of Dylann Roof is a victim in this as much as the victims are. Now, a lot of people called and said that that means he's racist. Now, a lot of people also said it was inappropriate, and perhaps inappropriate, but they suggested that this judge was racist. He apparently said the N-word from a courtroom in a previous transcript, although he was said as he was stating that from an African-American officer, said the same thing, that it was a statement. There are white men, black men. I can't remember the third scope of men, but then there are N-word.
And that is highly offensive. I don't care.
Right.
I mean, it's offensive when a black man or a black person says the N-word.
Right.
Highly offensive when a white person. I mean, it's just certain words that are just off limits. And you just can't say it. I don't care what the contexts are. Because instead of saying the N-word, you can say ignorant people. Because that's essentially what the N-word means. Drunkard, ignorant, buffoon. So mm-hmm. You could say that instead of the N-word.
Well, he was quoting an African-American officer.
Oh, and was he?
That's where the statement came from. He was quoting an African-American officer, one that he was friends with, who said that statement.
I don't care.
If there's, and you may feel that way, but there is also, and I referenced, there was a time in the movie Glory, I don't know if you've seen that.
I have.
Morgan Freeman's talking to Denzel Washington, and he says a similar thing to him. Denzel Washington is basically calling them all N-words around there because, you know, we're all slaves, whatever. And Morgan Freeman, there's only one, and that's you. It says, I'm a man. I'm a black man. And I thought that was the best thing. I thought that was incredible because, and the thing that were inappropriate, yes, but is this judge a racist? And I guess what I was astounded at was the lack of knowledge and discernment, wisdom, in the whole issue. People were just automatically saying, oh, this racist bigot judge. And what people fail to realize is that's how our culture is today. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I was in public school, I had friends of mine who were black could say that all the time, about themselves, about each other, and it was a cultural norm almost. They would call themselves that, and everyone knows it, no one wants to talk about it, it's one of those kinds of things.
But it's still an offense whether a black person says the N-word or not. Whether it's a black person saying it or a white person saying it, it's still an offensive word that should not be used. So it's ignorant for a black person to call to reference themselves or to reference someone else that way. I still don't find that it's appropriate just because the person who's saying it is black.
Sure, no, and it can be inappropriate, absolutely. But the point, though, is that what is culturally normal, all of a sudden to jump to the conclusion and say that this man is racist because
of it. But now for a white man to say it or a white person to say it, it really does take it to a whole nother level of red. So yes, it's bad. It's offensive for a black person to say it. It's ignorant. You shouldn't say it. And I would I'm never in that kind of company. And I would quickly begin to, you know, jump into that mama role. We have to go to a break.
We're going to a break. We'll be back. We'll continue the discussion on this when we return.
the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gere with today's Family Update. The United States Supreme Court is expected to announce its decision regarding so-called same-sex marriage any day now, and many expect they will overturn the long-standing definition of marriage. Please pray for a different result. But whatever the court decides, we need to educate ourselves and the next generation about the many reasons why marriage is and should remain the union of one man and one woman. That's one reason why we're hosting Ryan Anderson, the nation's leading spokesman in defense of marriage, at our upcoming City on the Hill Youth Leadership and Worldview Conference for Teens. This is the age group that most needs to hear this message. So find out more about City on the Hill today. Space is filling up. To get information, go to our website at pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org, or you can call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1. I'm Michael Gere of the Pennsylvania Family Institute.
Hi, this is Carla Dedessi, author of the Julia Learns book series and host of Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL. Let's make 2015 the year that we read quality books to our children, the future leaders of this country. Please start with my book series, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely and Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely is instructing our children to vote with conservative values and the importance of planting those seeds deeply into our children's hearts at an early age. Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely is planting seeds deeply for truth and nobility and righteousness that we see in traditional marriage. They are the only books that are sharing this message with our children, the future leaders of the United States of America. And please keep a lookout for a third book that will be launched this April 2015, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely. Remember, today's readers are tomorrow's future leaders.
The Julia Learns series can be purchased as ebooks, printed books, and on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other Christian retailers.
Hi, this is Nancy Becker, the Recorder of Deeds in Montgomery County. I'd like to read a quote from Mark Twain. In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man and brave and hated and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, and then it costs nothing to be a patriot.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Talking about the Confederate flag, this whole idea of a race war on 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. It's a new day with Mike Levins and Kathy Barnett. You can call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK. And we were just talking about before the break, this judge who was ruling the South Carolina shooting. This was a controversy when it occurred. It's died down. We've moved from one controversy to the next, which now has been the Confederate flag. But this judge's use, his prior use, not in this case, it first started off with him saying that the family of the killer, Dylann Roof, was just as much of victims as the families who were affected by Dylann, who actually were killed, the family members who were killed, and those who were grieving, that they were just as much of a victim. And he received immense scrutiny, that many people said that that was inappropriate, in the least, and other people started begin calling him racist and bigots. And the thing that I could not understand, and I guess the new normal, is that our society is turning into a reactionary society.
Very.
everything all of a sudden has a knee-jerk reaction, and there's no thought. The internet and social media has made us dumb.
I mean, there's good and there's bad, right? Because I often think about, what if the apostles had Twitter or Facebook? I mean, these people did, they literally a revolution on the world that has impacted the entire world. And they did not have the means that you and I have today. So there's a blessing to, you know, to social media, and it can be used in that fashion. So I see that. But to your point, you're so right, right? Because now information is coming at us like bam, 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 bam. We have about 15 seconds to process it all right before a new something, you know, outrageous kind of, confronts us. And so we don't have a whole lot of time to really process and think. And so you're right, we have become a very reactionary culture. Mm-hmm.
And what we were talking about before was this judge, and when he said this, people looked into his past and dug up dirt on him. And there's a transcript of him quoting an African-American officer where he was apparently ruling in a case with an African-American, and he was telling him probably to try to set him straight. There are white men, black men, I can't recall it right now. I'll have to pull it up. But another form of men, and then the N-word, and basically telling him, don't be that, okay? Saying that because he said that, he was racist.
Well, yeah, and I would not go so far as to say that he's racist necessarily, right off the bat, because I don't know him. However, can I say, yes, to your earlier point, the family of Dylann Roof is a victim as well, right? Now they're being held hostage by the foolishness of it all, right? And we're actually scrutinizing them and kind of holding them out to be bad people as well for even giving him
when Dylann Roof's father actually reported to the police that the man in the video was his son.
Yes, exactly, right? So yes, they are a victim. However, is it the appropriate time to kind of put, you know, to try to call people to have sympathy for the family? Is there greater wisdom that could have been exercised, given the fact that we are a very reactionary culture and people don't really think at this whole Black Lives Matter movement? Now they're just running rapid, you know, very emotional. So as a person, with a platform, do you want to exercise a little bit of wisdom right now and kind of de-escalate instead of escalating in things? You know, so I think that better timing could have been used.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know exactly what he was thinking, because usually the family of the the criminal that is in question usually not only gets scrutinized, and some of that is needed to a point, because there could be different things in the family that contribute, obviously.
But greater wisdom, perhaps, right? I'm mm-hmm. not here to debate that. Mm-hmm. But what I am here to talk about is that N-word, because I think is highly offensive, you know? I mean, and it's the same with the Confederate flag. I would kind of put both of them in the exact same box. Again, as a Black woman growing up in the very deep South, I understand, you know, that they're even today, we go back home once a year. And even today, you can see the racial divide. You can see the economic, social divide. You can see that there is this kind of unheard of place that you need to remember where you need to be, kind of thing. And I remember experiencing that as a young girl as well. And you have the lunacy of people saying, well, you know, slavery was only 2% of the reason why we, you know, was only 2% of the whole civil rights war. Well, of course, you know, like
slavery
specifically
was the reason
it was the reason right. And even if you go to, and my kids and I, we, my husband and I, we took the family to Washington D.C. We went to the Lincoln Monument, and you can read some of his speeches, and it was the central reason, even Lincoln said. But of course, to those in the South who want to, you know, revise history, they say it's only 2%. And so then I use their logic. Well, if it was only 2%, let me just raise my hand to say I would have been a part of that 2%. So it matters to me, right? Because I most definitely would have been a slave in the South. And so it impacts me. And I find it very offensive. In the Confederate flag, to anyone who's willing to be honest, it represents, it's symbolic of the South's move to separate themselves from the union and to really hold on to their ability to keep slaves. And so as a symbol of that, I find offense to it. But you still got to go to school. People, you know, like I said, they would have their face painted in the Confederate flag,
right,
with T-shirts. And so then I would have friends walk up to me at college and I would with their Confederate flag T-shirt on. And I would say, you need to go away from me. I don't want to talk to you. And then they would say, well, why? And then it began a conversation. Well, this is the reason why. I find great offense to that. Now, I know you're a wonderful person and we get along and you're a Christian, so you're my brother in the Lord. But do you know what that shirt represents? And so now you can have an intelligent conversation about it. This particular person went to his dorm room, changed his shirt, and came back out again. Well, now we can hang out again, right? But I think that that's just, I think that's what we need. We need to recognize that just because you walk into the room with something that I don't like or you say something that is offensive to me, not immediately jump on my emotional bandwagon and start accusing you of things, but let's have a conversation. Do you know what that represents to me? Do you know that I find offense in that?
The one thing that we have to be careful of is that can be used for anything. I could say the same thing about a Muslim who is walking around with the cap and
the burqa.
And the burqa. I could say that that is offensive and you need to go change. And there is an aspect to, as Christians, to where we have to recognize this world as it is and take it for what it is, and that.
But it doesn't mean that I can't voice, because if I was talking to,
Not at all.
I find it very kind of scary to see people with the full burqas on. I mean, it's kind of alarming to me just to see the slit of someone's eyes.
And it is for me, but I see it as the sinfulness of man coming out. And mm-hmm. I see that that's in every one of us, not just in someone who's behind a burqa or someone who's wearing a Confederate shirt. And I find that no matter how offensive anything may be to me in particular, that if I remind myself of that, I could find grace for that person.
Well, you can find grace and still say, you need to go take that shirt off. I find it offensive. If you want to talk to me, now you can keep
sure.
it on and not talk to me. But if you want to talk to me, I find that offensive. And I think that that's me exhibiting grace, because ignorance would be, I find it offensive, but I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to be mad at you.
Mm-hmm. Well, and whatever, and we have to be careful as Christians, whatever that we are given as a sphere of influence, to be led by the Spirit, and whatever that situation is. And that may be to say something. It may be to not say something.
Yes, right. Because you and I see a tremendous amount of foolishness all around us, and you can't run up to everything and say, hey, I'm offended. You know, stop doing that.
And that's what we need to be careful of, mm-hmm. because that could be applied to many, many things. We've got to head to a break. We're going to have some interviews on the other side. You're listening to It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty.
Hi, friends. This is Janet Parshall, host of In the Market, coming to you on Moody Radio. Ever wake up in the morning, turn on the morning news, and you just feel like you're out of focus, not quite sure how you should respond as a follower of Jesus Christ? Well, that's what In the Market is designed to do. We take a look at those headlines. We take a look at that news, but we do it in a markedly different way. We look at it through the lens of Scripture. Why? So you'll go out in the marketplace of ideas for His sake. Join us for In the Market with Janet Parshall.
We are pleased to be adding Janet Parshall to our program schedule, Sundays at 12:05, right here on 1180 AM, WFYL, working for your liberty.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
Live from beautiful West Norriton Township. Norriton Township. This is AM 1180. AM 1180. WFYL. King of Prussia. Philadelphia.
Fox News Radio. I'm Dave Anthony. They'll hold a Bible study tonight in the same black church where a week ago white gunman shooting spree killed 9 people, prompting an outcry against the Confederate flag in South Carolina.
Take it down. Take it down.
Fox News Radio's Tanya J. Powers has the latest on this live.
South Carolina lawmakers are mulling a bill that would move the flag from the state house to a relic room in a museum, but there are some who think it should remain.
I think it should stay up as something to remind us of where we came from and
where we maybe don't want to go back to.
Meanwhile, Tennessee's governor says he supports removing the Confederate flag from license plates in that state, a move already started in Virginia. An Alabama lawmaker also says the state should remove the flag from the Capitol grounds. eBay, Walmart, and others say they won't sell any more Confederate gear. Dave.
Tanya, Freddie Gray's death in police custody sparked protests and riots in Baltimore. Now the autopsy report's been leaked. Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland has details live.
The medical examiner found that Freddie Gray suffered a high-energy injury when the Baltimore police van he was riding in suddenly decelerated. The Baltimore Sun also reporting the medical examiner did not rule his death an accident because officers failed to follow the proper safety procedures. The medical examiner also believes that while Gray was loaded into the van belly down, he may have tried to stand up and could have been thrown into a wall. Six Baltimore police officers are charged in Gray's death. Dave.
Rachel, hundreds of thousands of homes and businesses are out of power this morning.
This is a tornado.
After storms like that hit Jersey and areas of Pennsylvania up to Connecticut, utility crews say it could take days to repair damaging electricity back in some areas. France is demanding answers from the U.S. ambassador, and its president's holding an emergency meeting after what WikiLeaks revealed.
They claim they have leaked documents marked top secret that show that the United States was spying on three French presidents between 2006 and 2012.
Sky News' Jason Farrell. The National Security Council says it is not and will not target President Hollande's communications. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
I'm a freelance photographer, and I handle my own business. That's why I use QuickBooks Self-Employed. It's a simple program that helps me estimate my federal quarterly taxes and separate my business and personal expenses. Say I buy a new lens. The purchase pops up on my phone. I just swipe left to file it as a business expense. And tickets to a ball game with my kids? I swipe right to file as personal.
Dad, I'm hungry.
And swipe right for the hot dogs. That's how I own it.
If you work for yourself, try QuickBooks Self-Employed with a free 30-day trial. Learn more at qbselfemployed.com.
I'm Jay Farner with some great news on how you could save an average of $3,000 per year on your mortgage. Call Quicken Loans now at 800-QUICKEN to see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. The HARP guidelines have changed. There's less paperwork and often no appraisal required. Call 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. Or visit quickenloans.com.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License law 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
The White House will today clarify how it deals with Americans being held hostage overseas.
As part of a broad review of U.S. hostage guidelines that will be released today, the Obama administration will tell families of Americans held by terror groups that they can pay ransom without fear of prosecution. But White House spokesman Josh Earnest says the U.S. government will never pay ransom to terrorist groups like ISIS.
To offer concessions to terrorists only does allow them to more effectively fund their operations.
The administration will make clear that the Justice Department has never prosecuted anyone for paying ransom, and that will continue to be the case.
That's Fox News Radio's John Decker at the White House. They still haven't found the two escaped killers more than 2 weeks after David Sweat and Richard Matt broke out in New York, despite discovering where they had been hiding out.
Also inside that cabin, there are reports that authorities found bloody socks and shoes belonging to the fugitives. Now, there is speculation that one of the fugitives may be barefoot.
That's Fox's David Lee Miller near the cabin in Owl's Head, New York. A new study reviewing the benefits of medical marijuana doesn't find many.
Most of the uses to which medical marijuana has been applied are not supported by solid evidence, not according to the Journal of the American Medical Association, which says that if medical marijuana was a regular drug, it would need the blessing of the FDA to get it to patients. And in most cases, those patients would be out of luck. A comprehensive review of dozens of clinical trials that have tested medical marijuana for 10 conditions finds there's very little reliable evidence in support of the drug. The only area where pot might get a pass is in the treatment of some types of chronic pain. Bill Fitka, Fox News Radio.
The Senate is expected today to approve giving the president fast-track trade authority to make deals Congress could reject but not alter. Another bill to be considered next would give Americans who lose jobs to trade deals job training. I'm Dave Anthony. Fox.
At the end of his life, King Solomon stated his concluding counsel for all who would listen: fear God and keep his commandments. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. The Bible speaks a lot about the fear of God. It's the beginning of wisdom, which God says in James 1:6 we can have if we ask. But the fear of the Lord is also the beginning of knowledge and understanding truth. It's a fountain of life. It's more valuable than great wealth. King David says the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. When a nation fears God and obeys his commands, their leaders will rule in the fear of God, and he will make even their enemies to be at peace with them. Do you fear God? If so, the Bible says you will hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way. I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network asking you, do you want wisdom, understanding, knowledge, safety, and confidence? Then fear the Lord and keep his commandments, because that's where blessing always starts.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.